There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning. It's the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. Tucker Silva, he's back. We are here until 9 a.m. today. We got a good slate of NFL and college football games. And, of course, if you want to talk about any game today, or this weekend, feel free to call in at 617-779-0985. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Our computers, they're fabulous, let me tell you. They are just these fabulous things that you pot them right up, and then they work, but then they don't. But anyways, Dan, I figured we'd get into the NFL. We do a podcast. What we do on that podcast, it's on Thursday nights. And we discussed the Thursday night games. I had the Carolina Panthers this week. Loss. It was a bad game overall. But that was a loss. And Dan, you had Fresno, who looked very good against Colorado State and Steve Adazio's team. So 1-1 there on Thursday night. I didn't catch too much of the slate last night. I was doing, husband things and stuff. But the Wyoming pick, I'm just biased on Hawaii because the wife's Hawaiian. But Wyoming, you're right, on a bounce back, good running game. They win last night. The shocker is the Maryland. I mean, who thought, Ty Ulia would go off like he did?
I mean, Minnesota isn't good, dude. They don't have a defense anymore. They lost over 70% of their defense, and they're just decimated.
What I saw, and again, I was kind of watching the highlights last night, dude, they had a 38-21 lead. And then, they score a touchdown. They gave the ball. They had a 3-and-out to close the game out, and Maryland took care of business. But to miss that field goal at the end, that's inexcusable.
The extra point, yeah. I mean, if you lose on an extra point, it's brutal. But, nonetheless, if you watch the game early on, Maryland dominated. I thought that they should have. I thought that Maryland was the better team last night. I really did. Now they, offensively, they kind of slowed down after that second quarter. But just in general, they were the better team. And Minnesota is so highly favored. The public views them so highly.
I think they should be. Yeah.
I don't think so. They had one good year.
I think Fleck, their quarterback, they deserve some of the high praise. But the way maybe they lost week one to Michigan and now the bounce back this week, maybe they're not that good.
You lose to Maryland, you're not good. I mean, well, Northwestern just beat this team 45-3.
True.
I mean, Minnesota's not good. So everyone needs to hop off the boat before you sink on it.
Now, I will say this. What we're noticing, though, is that from one week to the other, you can't really look at a team and feel like that's who they are. Now, there are some teams that do that. Maryland wasn't. That's what, Big Ten football at this point. But I want to keep my eyes on both teams because I want to see how Maryland plays this thing out now. Are they we're 0-2, we're toast?
I bet you Maryland's not 1-1. I bet you they're a perfect fade next week. I haven't looked at the schedule. I haven't looked at anything. And I bet you there's a good potential buy low on Minnesota for maybe the next week or two. I'm just saying, last night, it felt like everyone wanted to be on Minnesota. Literally everyone. I didn't really understand why, but, everyone wanted to be on Minnesota.
Quarterback, man, Purdy.
Yeah.
Well, Purdy's, sorry.
You mean Tanner Morgan.
Taylor, yeah. They're basically the same guy to me.
No, but Purdy is significantly better than that.
He'll be
kid.
A bigger prospect.
I think Purdy is a better kid. Question for you. Did you watch the end of that ECU Tulsa
So, game? No, I didn't. But, dude, I got so many tweets from people being... So, I saw one play. I think it was a fourth down conversion. That dude made like a 13-yard catch, but it hit the turf.
It was not a catch. It wasn't even close to a catch. Refs,
so I saw that one. And this isn't. I didn't watch the game. I had no action at all last night. But I saw it, and it looks like the refs were definitely in favor of Tulsa.
I had a small little bet on ECU plus 17.5. Nothing on the money line. There were my money was not affected whatsoever. In the final drive, they had. They called East Carolina for a defensive pass interference, which wasn't remote. I mean, there wasn't anything. There was no pass interference on the play. It wasn't even close. Then there was a fumble by Tulsa that was a clear fumble, and they reversed it. The guy, the ball's coming out while the guy's standing up, and somehow they claim that he had possession going to the ground. Horrible call. And then the next one is a catch that's not a catch. Three calls. All of gambling Twitter was losing their mind.
No, I agree.
It was
with
not
you.
Just
yeah. It's not
the
like you sitting there.
Theorists.
Yeah, I totally agree. I couldn't believe I woke up to like 20 texts. Hey, there's a wrangle. There's a wrangle. There's a wrangle. But Tulsa came back to win.
Yeah, I mean, ECU should have won that game. Tulsa should be 2-2. They should be 2-1 in the American. And we should be talking about how that was such a great win for East Carolina and how they are better than advertised. And honestly, it was just brutal. The refs, that was an NBA ref job. Like, I mean, really, like that was NBA level reffing. We don't care what you see. We're going to call it the way that we need it.
Well,
honestly.
What's funny, though, is like they were like, you know, the bet onlines of the world, the odd sharks, all like the betting websites that you see online were like, is this a catch or is it not? And it's like, wow, was it really like it was really that bad last night?
Yeah.
So I'm glad I had no part of it.
You would have been very, very frustrated.
All right. We got big games today in college football. And I really want to dig into the NBA, the NFL slate. Just with our podcast, there's so many college football games that. It's dominated by college, so I figured we'd do a little bit more NFL today, kind of break down the games. We do it quickly, but I just want to bring up a couple of big college games today. Locally here, Boston College at Clemson. Clemson's 24.5 right now. That's what I see in my book.
There was a major move this morning. It's at 26.5 now.
That's what's gone out.
Oh, yeah. It was a major sharp move overnight to Clemson. It opened 24 after Trevor Lawrence was ruled out, which I feel pretty confident in saying we're on top of the ball on that one, right? Like, you know, we were on top of that live, so that was pretty good. You know, where we got the information before it hit the mainstream. You know, obviously Trevor Lawrence ruled out for the game. BC at 31.5 drops down to 24. Penny, I think, opened 21.5. A few other sites had it, you know, 27. It was kind of all over the board where it was going to reopen, and it settled at 24. I think Bookmaker had it there. DraftKings definitely had it there. And then, you know, we kind of reopened to see, you know, what else we're going to get. And now, you know, it's moved. It went from 24 to 24.5, and now we see 26 to 26.5 most places at this point. I'm surprised that there's an appetite for Clemson near that 26, 27 mark. I guess probably below it because... You know, we haven't seen it at 27, but I'm surprised there's an appetite for that without Lawrence because, and again, I've heard nothing but, oh, their backups are so good, Joe. We just talked about this. Clemson's backups have been trash. I mean, let's not forget, their backup quarterback against the Citadel, 0 points in a whole half, zero. Against UVA, blew a cover. I didn't see the Georgia Tech game, so to be honest, I don't know if they use backups. And I don't think they use backups against Syracuse. But the times I've seen backups were 2 weeks in a row, Citadel and Virginia, and they looked terrible. So, again, I'm not saying BC is some world-beating team. I just don't understand what are you seeing? What are the sharps seeing in value on Clemson.
Yeah, I want to get into it. We'll get into it in depth. The quarterback today is going to be DJ Uiagalelei, I believe his name is. I don't know if I said that correctly there.
We're going to call it close enough. It's a tough name.
He's going to start today. They have another kid from Connecticut. That's their backup. They both could see action. Who knows? What I can tell you is locally here.
Is that Taysen? Oh man, this is gonna be a brutal.
Both of them are. Yeah.
The name is impossible. I don't want to mess it up.
They have nicknames.
His first name is Tyson.
From everything I've heard this week, BC is all in. They have to be all in this week. If they don't stop the run, they're toast, and that's been their issue all year long. And personally, I think they could probably run a Wildcat all day and probably win the game. Do they cover? That's going to be the big question. There are some other good games today. Memphis, Cincinnati is one of them. Does Michigan look like Michigan of last week? Does Michigan State look like Michigan State of last week? Very similar to what we saw last night as well.
And we talked about that Michigan State line jumping 14 points. That has now moved a whole score the other way. It's not Michigan minus 21.5. It was 24.5 on Thursday when we did the pod.
Coastal Carolina, my team. You know that's my team. They'll have their quarterback tonight or today. They're at noon. They're at Georgia State. They're 3.5-point favorites. It was 1.5 at one point.
Grayson McCall ruled in, so he's playing. I love him. That's so huge for them.
I think today's a bad spot, but that's my team, and we're going to have to wait it out.
I would feel better with Coastal with McCall over Coastal. Absolutely. On the road with Peyton at Georgia State. At least Peyton was home last week on the road with McCall. I feel pretty good about Coastal Carolina now, even though it's not a great spot.
Just a couple of interesting random games. UCF Houston's one that I'm like, you know, are we going to see a shootout? Like, what are we going to see there?
It's a weird
game. With those two teams there. You'll hear Notre Dame, Georgia Tech here on the Sports Hub. LSU Auburn's another one. Like, give me SEC football. I know both teams are down, but I am in on that game. Texas, Oklahoma State. I feel at some point Oklahoma State's going down. You're going to see a lot of Sam Ellinger today. A lot of Sam Ellinger. Night games, Boise State, recency, you know, another one here. Air Force off of a loss. What's Alabama look like against Mississippi State tonight? SMU Navy. We have a pick on North Carolina, Virginia. And then Oklahoma, Texas Tech. So,
and of course, the big game, the whiteout, Ohio State, Penn State.
Yes, we're going to discuss that one. So we'll get into BC, Clemson, the whiteout, as you mentioned, with fans or without?
Without fans. There's no whiteout, unfortunately, but it would be the whiteout game.
That stinks. So a ton of college football today here on the slate. I do want to get into the NFL, and I do want to talk about that Patriots-Bills game. That's tomorrow, which according to my line right now, this is from a local, okay, like Mr. Pickles.
Yep.
-4,
yep.
Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I have too. So no Gilmore. It sounds like Gilmore is not playing for injury reasons, which we all know are not injury related, right? I think we can all.
When's his house?
I believe the
get that one, Tucker. You've been looking at it.
Are due Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, you've been looking at that open.
It's right in my budget. Yeah,
yeah. Tuesday 5 p.m. Buck Tucker. Just an hour after the trade deadline ends. No problem. Mm. Yeah, no problem.
My only thing on the whole, and I do believe the MRI thing is like whatever. It's like he's probably miffing it or whatever. But if he wanted out, why would he say that has a knee injury?
Wow, maybe they could just be lying.
From what I read, it was something that happened during practice this week.
Right.
Right. That's. But, I think it's actually legit.
No, it could. Tucker, it could absolutely be. We're just.
I'm a straight up saying I don't think it's legit. I think they're just lying to you and telling you that he has an injury so that he doesn't get hurt.
Would hurt his value.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, to say he had an MRI, like, wouldn't that hurt his value?
Exactly. It would.
No, it wouldn't, because if he has an MRI and it's fine.
He could play on Sunday.
If he has an MRI and it's perfectly clean, how does it hurt his value?
Yeah, J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
My guess is it's an updated medical for our team. Just saying.
Oh.
Just saying.
Hey, whatever, man. Whatever.
Maybe they wanted proof. Let's have an MRI, shall we?
Let's go. Conspiracy theory on Stephon Gilmore's legs this week.
We are all speculating. Damir Bird, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski, Isaiah Zuber, Mason Kinsey, my guy from Berry College.
And Christian Wilkerson.
Who's that?
I don't know.
But let's take a guess. Where did he go to college?
Oh, some.
Without looking it up.
Some Division II school.
No, I'm going to say he went to like.
I'm gonna let you do it before.
Ooh,
before
okay. Let's. This is a good one. Christian Wilkerson. I'm gonna say he went to like. I have like Toledo on the brain. I don't know why.
Let's see. Southeastern Missouri State. Okay. Told you. To one double A. Close enough.
Oh man. Yeah.
SEMO.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we tried.
Yep. SEMO, close enough.
Maybe we'll do that next
time. Division
hour.
2, 1AA, close enough.
Come up with another, hey, who's this guy? Where'd he go to college? All right, big NFL slate coming up next. And hey, you want to talk about any games today? 617-779-0985. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here. Good morning to everybody. It is cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside. I would give yourself definitely an extra 10 minutes today. I used the automatic starter today.
Oh, nice.
Got the car hot, but didn't get the old windshield.
No.
So that was the issue today.
So the key that I've found out over the past year, I've been in New England for 32 years now, and I finally figured this out. The windshield finally defrosts once you start driving.
Driving.
Yeah.
Yes.
The key is to get a little section
there. Make a little hole?
Do a little Ace Ventura thing.
So yesterday I didn't have I had no scraper, no brush, no nothing.
Yeah.
I used my arm.
You're not the only one.
But today it was bad. And for those who didn't clean that car off yesterday, it's now frozen. So
that's me. Mine was in the garage.
Mr. Garage
and,
man.
I know. And now it's sitting outside. It's gonna be freezing cold.
Yeah, Mr. Garage.
I know.
Fancy garage.
Little soy boy over here. I know.
We have a call. What we do on this show is you have an interest in a game, you call in at 617-779-0985. You should put that number in your phone. You know, put that number in there. And when you're like, dude, I need some action, I want to bet on a game, you call us. Tucker will answer. Hey, what's your name? And then I'll ask you what game you want.
And how are you?
Yes. And what game you want. And then to keep it clean. Then I'll put you on hold and then we'll go right to you. So Dan is in the car. He wants to talk about a certain game today. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, guys? I messed up last week. You know, I admit it. I accidentally said the under in that West Virginia game. I meant to say the over. If you listen to my bones, I heard you guys bash me on the pod. Anyways, I want to talk about LSU Auburn today. Joe, I know Auburn is on your list, right?
Yes.
Okay. So LSU won this game 23-20 last year. LSU has also won 3 in a row. The over-under is set at 62.5. The past 3 meetings, the totals, the scores have been 23-20, 22-21, 27-23. Now, the line opened at 3. It's now 1.5. And the over-under opened at 66. My gut is telling me since these games haven't come close to that 60 mark, I want to take the under. And I know Auburn is on your list, Joe, but I kind of want to take them on the money line. Can you kind of talk me off that little ledge?
Hey, and just so you know, we don't bash anybody on this show.
No, I know.
I love insight.
We gave you a little bit of a hard time for taking the under last week. But
you called in.
Here's what I'll say, Dan. I think you got to start using things other than history in your views, because – you're looking at teams. Like if I had taken the Colorado State matchup the other day, right, and I had said, oh, I'm going to take Colorado State based on history. Well, they have a new coach, a new quarterback. You have to start looking at other things other than just the history from the prior matchups. LSU is a new quarterback. It's a totally different team from the Joe Burrow elite defense team last year. You can't take into account what LSU and Auburn did last year. So I think that this is a good example of maybe looking at things other than just history between the two teams. Because I'm going to tell you this year, the look-ahead total at this one, Joe, was 66. It actually opened at 63, Dan, on the available line. And it's moved down to 62.5. I think you're probably looking at something right around the mid-60s. LSU's quarterback, you know, basically LSU just has to throw the ball now because the run game has been so terrible. And Auburn, the only way they're going to win this game is if they put up points. So I think if you like Auburn today, they're every single one of Auburn's wins, they've scored 29 or more points. So they need to score points in this one to win against LSU.
Yeah, my only takeaway on this one is that you know, LSU is going back-to-back weeks without Miles Brennan. They're off next. They have a bye next week. And I think that Bo Nix has a little bit of confidence going into last week's games. Now, I think Seth Williams is very good. But I think it's more a Malzahn thing than it is Bo Nix, even though we see the struggles of Bo Nix on the field. Three interceptions is not good. I think it's tough for LSU back-to-back weeks. Now going on the road again against an Auburn team. Auburn's a tough place to play. LSU won 23-20. I agree with you. Auburn's on my list, but I think it's tough for back-to-back weeks without your starting quarterback to win, considering they get a bye and then they get Brennan back. So I wouldn't touch the total, but Auburn's on my list, but I do like them.
Great. Thank you,
thanks,
guys.
Dan. All right. And again, I can't bet Auburn. Like, it's one of these things. When I say you're on my list, it means I can't bet you. Like the Eagles, I can't bet you. The Falcons, I can't bet you, even though they won. That's why I have a list.
It does sound
Cowboys,
like
Cowboys, I can't bet you.
It does sound like Miles Brennan is going to be healthy for the game, but he is being
They want him, yes. They love what they did last week. They want to give him an extra week is what they want to do.
I think T.J. Finley just won the job. I think T.J. Finley has been the better quarterback. We'll see. I mean,
listen, but at some point, Gus Malzahn's going to have to do that with Bo Nix. But now, I'll just say this. Bo Nix earned. Like, he played well down the stretch last week to win that game.
I mean, they were gifted the game again. I'm going to be fair.
You know what's weird?
They were gifted two games.
I feel like Bo Nix is so likable. I don't know what it is. Like, you say gifted, but I don't know. Like, I feel like he, I don't know. At times, he does get some out of bounds calls. Like if he runs out, of, you know, because he gets that extra call. He's likable to me. I think I don't know if it's like I remember that freshman that throw that he had in was at Oregon last year.
Yep.
Opening game. Like he's likable to me. I root for that kid.
Yep.
Plus his name's Bo and Auburn. It's just a lot of good things going there.
Hey, we got a question on Twitter from our buddy Bill.
Bill!
Before we had the break, I just want to answer this question from Bill. Have heard on a national show that it's not a good idea to tease totals. I'm assuming that he means Mr. RJ Bell. Can you explain why, from a rookie better perspective, it seems like it could be a profitable situation? So, teasing totals, especially in college football, is like a never do. You don't tease totals in a college football scenario. And again, I've done it in certain situations where I felt confident, but really, really, if you're building in the bankroll or in the process of doing shit, stuff like that, you should never, ever tease a college football total. Basically, the concept is both teams can score. So you're actually disadvantaging yourself because both teams can score. When you tease a side, you're hoping there's only one side that can go against you. On a total, both teams can go against you. I know that that's kind of a simple-minded, not so complex explanation, but for the rookie better, I think I'm just trying to explain it from that
angle. Stay away from teases early on.
I think in the NFL, 6-point teases can be profitable to a point. I think if you're playing around with college teases for the most part, you're playing with fire, really.
I only tend to do that when I'm like, you know, up and messing around and I like this team. If you're like in it to like, you know, be profitable, it's not really what I, you know, what I suggest.
It's not a profitable solution long term. I'd say 6-point NFL teases it absolutely.
Like there are people I know that just bet teases. Like, hey, I'm gonna do, you know, something. There's a guy I know that does you know, Birdcage. Like he'll do a you know, three team teaser, which pays out extra. So 500 gets you 900.
Yep.
Does that every week, and you know, he that's what he does.
Is he
but that's his action. So I mean, but think about it. You lose 2 weeks, you're down $100. But you win the next. You know what I'm saying? So could you be profitable over time? Yes, if you lose 3 weeks in a row. Now you know,
I mean, you have to hit higher than 33%.
Yeah, exactly.
I would tell you that 99% of people would not be profitable with teasers.
But yeah, I do have a friend who does that. And he does okay. I mean, would he do better if he just bet individual games? Yeah.
Yeah.
Put 500 in one game and then roll it over.
Yep.
Roll it over. Roll it. Our buddy Gabe, early today. Hello, Gabe. How are you?
Hey, guys. Got up a little bit early today, so wanted to call in. So tonight, the UFC card, literally 7 out of the 11 fights, there's the favorite is minus 300 or higher. So it's a bit hard today. I like Adrian Yans and Bobby Green. They're a bit high, but I also like Bobby Green by decision. That's around minus 160. And I just have one question. Why wouldn't I throw all my money on the Buffalo Bills tomorrow, even though the Pats are my, you know, my soul? Why would I just want to throw all my money on the Bills. Please tell me what I should do.
I wouldn't put all of your money on the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
They're the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, listen, for as much as I refuse to take the Patriots, in this spot, at the same time, like, let's not forget who you're going up against. You know, let's not forget who the Bills are. They're a team that couldn't score a touchdown against the Jets last week. They're a team that, you know, cannot stop the run at all in any sort of capacity. And they're a team that, since starting off the season very well, has faced immense regression anytime they face any sort of adversity or really any good team. I mean, I think in that Rams game, they're up like 30 points, 28 points at some point, and then ended up almost losing that game. I mean, they got bailed out by the refs in a DPI call, but really, they almost lost that game. The regression for Buffalo has been bad. Not saying that, you know, I'm pro-Patriots here, because, you know, it's almost impossible to back that team right now. But that being said, like, this is Buffalo. Anything could happen. You could see Josh Allen throw 7 interceptions tomorrow because it's Josh Allen and the Bills, and it's Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And, you know, Belichick knows this team inside and out. He'll be ready. He'll have something for them.
Yeah, I think he'll have something for them. Again, the Patriots are on the list, right? You can't right now, to me, put back the Patriots in any situation right now. And it's not that I'm fading the Patriots. Just, I need to see them play well before I want to put money behind them.
I think you can make an argument for this week. I mean, you take a look at the spread. It's 3.5. Why is it 3.5 coming off?
Four.
Okay, it was 3.5 before the Gilmore news and whatever. So fine, it's 8-4. Why is it 4? If this is let's remove Belichick from this team. And I had this discussion on You Better Bet yesterday. Remove Bill Belichick from the Patriots. What are they on any spread this week? If this is not a Bill Belichick coach team, let's say, I don't know, Mike McCarthy.
And a half.
No, we're looking at 8.
We're putting the coach into this? I mean,
What other reason is it for? This spread should be based upon the last 2 weeks and what the Bills have put together over the season. This spread should be realistically a touchdown in Buffalo. It's a road
divisional
game,
though, man. I don't know. Let's get into it. On the other side, we'll talk Buffalo Bills, Patriots. I did want to just mention one thing. The UFC card tonight's good. Uriah Hall, Anderson Silva. Gabe said he likes Uriah Hall. Minus 235 if you like that. Oof, I don't know if I want to put that kind of dough on there. Greg Hardy's fighting tonight.
You again, I'm going to tell you, that's too much.
Greg Hardy's 315.
Too much juice to lay on a UFC my local, fight that's decided by judges.
My local didn't put a round because all of Hardy's fights are generally
under.
Let's see. Yeah, not a bad little card tonight. A little Halloween funsies tonight. Uriah Hall and Anderson Silva. I'm in on that one. 617-779-0985. We'll see you guys lined up on the phone lines, and we'll discuss the Bills and Patriots coming up on the other side. It's 98.5.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Big NFL slate this week. All right, Patriots, Bills. Right now, the line is 4. All right, 3.5, 4, whatever it is. My local today has 4. Yep. Okay, 4.
Why are you yelling?
Because you know people always. Oh, you're fudging the line. It's 4. It's 4 right now. The line is 4.
Okay.
Okay. It's 4. Okay. What's the total?
Total sitting at 40.5 right now. It was 41 last night. It's been bouncing around real low. The lowest total on the board this week, without a doubt.
The Patriots couldn't put up a touchdown last week, and it would have put the total over.
Didn't Buffalo not score a touchdown either?
They did not.
Both teams coming off a touchdownless game, which means they'll probably put up some touchdowns this week.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots, all right, I'm gonna unbiased take on the game, and then I'll give you a gambling. So I'll give you an analysis and then a gambling input.
Heavy.
Bills right now are like pretty much anointed the winners of the AFC East as of now, based off the Patriots' struggles earlier this year. The Patriots have won basically 7 in a row in the series. They've won 7 straight games against Buffalo. Last year, they came down to that red zone. Remember in the red zone?
That was Brady's worst game of the season, and they still won that game.
Yep, and what happened was Julian Edelman came alive, and Brady came alive, and that's how they won that game.
Yep.
And the defense made a stop when it needed it late in the game. The spread was 6.5 that day, or 6, because I remember.
Sounds familiar.
I remember that day vividly in my brain because I did a post-game show, and still haven't been paid for that. Anyways, Josh Allen, he's been decent. I think he's been decent. I think he runs the ball very well. The Patriots do struggle against those type of running quarterbacks. The wind's going to be a factor. You know, are the Patriots going to throw the football? That's still, you know, for me, when it comes to Cam Newton, there's so many things people can say. I think Cam Newton's hurt. That's my own opinion. I don't have any sort, nothing. My own opinion is the fact that he doesn't throw to the right side of the field is similar to what happened last year when he didn't throw to the right side of the field because of a shoulder injury. This you can look it up. Google, you know, Cam Newton struggles throwing to the right. You'll see charts that with a shoulder injury, he prefers to go left, left, left. No Julian Edelman, no N'Keal Harry. Look at that wide receiving core. Look at that core. Now, now the secondary for the Bills has struggled this year, but it's because more of injury, if you ask me. The Patriots are going to have to run the football this week. They can run the football on Buffalo. You can run the football on Buffalo. I think they're going to legitimately rip up any game plan that they've had. I think they might go back to that Dolphins game plan from week one. I don't know, Dan. Have they been protecting Cam Newton the last couple of weeks on running the football?
Yeah,
I'm curious.
It looks to me like they have. They made him a pocket passer, and that's the problem. I mean, the guy's not a pocket passer. If you're going to live and die by Cam Newton, run him into the ground, because at this point, he can't be a pocket passer. We've seen it the past 2 weeks now. Standing in the pocket doesn't work for this guy. That's not who he is. He has to be on the move to throw the ball, and he has to be part of the RPO. He has to run the ball. So if Newton gets hurt, oh, well. I mean, listen, I'm not rooting for the guy to get hurt. I really liked Cam Newton going into the year, you know, in the first four games of the season. I thought he was playing at a ridiculously high level. But, I mean, at this point, you got to run him, because he's not going to be successful throwing the ball 25 times, you know, 50 times a game, stepping back there and making 25 completions. That's not how you're going to win. He has to run the ball for this team to be successful. So it is what it is. You have to live and die by that.
Now, on the betting side of things, the Patriots are one of the worst profitable teams in football against the spread. They're the sixth worst team. They're tied with New Orleans right now, 2-4. Obviously, Dallas 0-7, Jets 1-6. Buffalo is 3-4. So both teams, as far as putting money on them against the spread, are not the greatest. If I lean something here, Dan, I lean over. That's my lean. I just feel like both teams have to have better offensive performances than they did a week ago. But generally, these games are low scoring. Last year, the Patriots won 24-17. I'll go back a little bit more. You remember that Thunder and Lightning game years ago? Was it Brandon Bolden and Stephen Ridley, was it? I forget who it was in that. But the Patriots had two rushers for over 100 yards. Like, they're going to need to run the football like that tomorrow to win. I think they're going to have struggles continuing to throw the football, is what I think. Yeah. But if they can run the football effectively, it's going to open up some passing lanes. And, you know, I think you're going to have to get, like, they won't dress both tight ends. They won't put Keene and Asiasi on the field at the same time.
I think they may have to.
I think it's going to have to. You have to. If you're going to run the football, you need the run. You need those guys out there.
Unless, I think Keene may have gotten you know, nicked up this week. Unless there's no reason to draft these guys if you're not going to use them. So you don't have Edelman. You don't have Harry. This is it. You got to use everything that you have in your holster this week, because this is the season if you're a Patriots. Again, I'm still looking at this and saying, why the hell is Buffalo a 3.5-point favorite? They're 5-2. They're at home. They're, you know, supposed to be this fantastic AFC contender, you know, going to challenge the Titans and the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Steelers. And they're, you know, this well-thought-out team. They're the AFC champion, you know, AFC's champions, crown them already. And they're 4-point favorites at home, coming off the Jets. I'm sorry. This spread should scare the hell out of you if you're a Bills fan. It should. And I'm not going to take the Patriots this week. I'm not going to do it. But if I'm a Bills fan and I see 3.5, which is where it opened, and it's at 4, if this is any other team than the Patriots, if this is the Dolphins, if this is whatever, the spread is 7, 6.5, something along those lines. It's the Patriots. It's 3.5, 4. Belichick, awful loss as a home dog in his career. 7-0 against the spread, 7-0 straight.
What's
up.
It on consecutive, though? Because that's what I'm looking at here. Patriots are 10-3 against the spread, consecutive against the spread losses. There's so many things that line up for the Pats. They're 7-0 straight up, 5-2 against the spread the last seven, just versus the Bills
41
in general.
41-17. Belichick is 41-17 all time with the Patriots, off a loss.
So I told you, I lean the over because I think both teams need to, they just have to have better offensive performances than they did a week ago. Neither of them had a touchdown, which hurts me on that one. Is the total's gone under in 10 of the Patriots' last 14 games versus divisional opponents.
It doesn't matter anymore, because
when they play divisional, though, it's a lot tighter. They also
don't have Brady. And I think this is a week where if Cam Newton doesn't look good early, they're making that quick hook. They're going to Stidham.
I don't know about the only reason why I say that. I worked post game last week. I was shocked. Like, legitimately, Bill Belichick was, oh, no, no. Well, Cam Newton's our starter. It was like, he goes, oh, you're just Stidham's your starter, right? It was like a throwaway line, the way he said it.
Yeah, I heard that.
I did a double take. Like, what? Cam Newton's been saying all week long, he thinks that he's on the way out. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. I think they will insert Stidham. And I think, you know, you're looking at the end of Cam Newton. The end of Cam Newton.
Well, we saw it's probably the end of Edelman for this year. They haven't put him on IR yet.
Belichick says he's coming back.
Yeah, no, I mean just for now. They haven't put him on IR yet. We'll see. I just want to mention this about Josh Allen quickly. In three games versus the Patriots, he's a 48% completion rate, 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. If he turns the football over and give the Patriots that, like, that's Josh Allen's the key to the game. Actually, Cam Newton's probably the key to the game for the Patriots. But in general, it's probably Josh Allen.
I'm telling you, take the Kansas City model, what the Patriots did against Kansas City, and do that against Buffalo. I mean, that's what I think you're going to do. Okay, Josh Allen, you want to run 4 or 5 yards here? That's fine. We're going to keep you in the pocket and make you throw the ball. Good luck.
Yeah, only thing that concerns me with that is if he runs, they don't have good linebackers. The Patriots don't have skilled linebackers that can run side to side.
But it doesn't matter. Kansas City has a better running game than Buffalo does. Yards per carry, every offensive statistic, and the Patriots still did a pretty good job against them. Devin Singletary has been horrible. Zach Moss, rookie out of Utah, 3.6 yards per carry. He's been terrible. I'm sorry.
They play him a lot.
And I loved Moss in college.
Yeah,
he was sucked. So sucked.
He was great at Utah. And Singletary's, you know.
He stinks, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't been great, right?
No, Singletary is not good either.
Yeah, bring him back. Real quick, I was trying to mention this. Patriots have the fewest penalty yards in the NFL. The Bills are the fourth most. So keep that in mind there on some maybe third and longs, the wind. I don't know. See, when I look at Josh Allen in the wind, I feel like he's got that strong arm, you know?
The weather factor in this one is, I'm going to tell you right now, it's low. They opened the look ahead to this game. The look ahead was Bills -3. It was the look ahead. You don't know the weather months in advance. So I'm going to tell you the look ahead was 3, and the total on this one was 42. It was the look ahead total. So I just, you know, it opened 46.
Do you have a pick?
I don't. I'm talking myself into the Patriots right now, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it because I still need to see something. But I think this is a game, if you want to back New England, you probably want to take them second half.
I'd like to bet the over. I'd like to see this a 24-21 win.
I also think the Patriots are going to be successful running the football against this team. Buffalo, we talked about a couple weeks ago. How bad are they against the run? Mm. And that was, you know, that was part of the whole Tennessee Titans game, the Chiefs game. They just got decimated.
Imagine this thing coming down to the kicker, and it's the guy you drafted in the fifth round not playing.
Ugh.
And Tyler Bass.
Ugh.
What, do you have 6 field goals last week?
I think so, something like that.
Missed one for the cover.
He was pretty good, though.
He kicks that field goal.
18-10, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns for the Patriots either.
Yeah, it was a look ahead, but Buffalo was not good last week. And if you don't think the Patriots were looking into this game too,
hey Patriots, they win this week, win next week, 4-4, they're back in it. And if you want to bet the Pats to win the AFC East, it's +450, $100, $1,000 gets you $4,500. 617-779-0985. We got hour 2 of the DraftKings Over Under Show coming up next.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour 2 DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lipschitz.
So we didn't give out a single pick in the first hour.
Do you have anything?
We got to do that, yeah. What do you want to do? You want to do NFL or college first?
Let's do NFL.
Okay. I'm going to go to Chicago and Soldier Field. And the Bears coming off a loss on Monday night. So it is a short week for them, which I admit is not the most brilliant of spots. But Chicago, short week at home against New Orleans. And I feel like New Orleans has strung together three straight wins, and none of them have been very impressive in my mind. The win at the Lions, I think, was probably their best win. The Chargers win, I thought they got lucky and escaped with that victory. And then last week, I mean, really, I thought a couple poor calls from the refs basically gave them the W against the Panthers, divisional game at home. So, I'll give them credit for that one. I still think we're going to see New Orleans regression again coming back. You know, the Saints without Michael Thomas just are not the same. Last week, they didn't have Manny Sanders. They still put up points, but this week they're facing a legitimately really good defense and a really good defensive line. And I think that this is going to be a bounce back game here for Chicago. You know, we're seeing this spread at this point, you know, up real high. Okay. It opened at 2.5. New Orleans was a 2.5-point favorite on the opening line. The look ahead line was -2. And now we're at 6, 5.5, 6, depending on your book. I'll give it out at 5.5, but, Tuck, if you wouldn't mind, give me the Bears +5.5. I think this is getting a little bit ridiculous. I know the Bears are coming off that loss, you know, to the Rams last week, and, you know, on the road short week, I get that. I still think this is a really good bounce back spot, and we're starting to overvalue New Orleans here. On the road in Soldier Field, no dome. It's going to be cold outside. Like, this is a spot for Chicago for me, and I don't love Nick Foles, and, you know, I don't love that Bears offense, but I don't get all the Saints love either, and I do think Chicago is a better team at home. Really good matchup for them, in my opinion. You know, if they shut down Kamara, they shut down the Saints offense. So.
So here's the thing. A couple of things stand out to me. So I feel like I've seen this game before. Now, last year, the Saints won this game 36-25.
Right, that was the Bridgewater game.
Yep. The Saints are first and third down conversion in the league. So, like, you know, if they continue to do that against the Bears, they'll be fine.
Yep.
The Bears are 30th in that. Not good.
I agree.
The Bears 30th in yards per rush attempt, where the Saints give up the third most rushing attempts in the league. So, Tucker, do you think that the Bears can run on the Saints, you know, Mr. Fantasy guy back there?
I mean, I just really don't trust Montgomery ever. Okay. He's on my list, if you will.
Okay, yep, he's on your list.
And Singletary have sucked since coming into the NFL. Let's call it out.
The only thing I have here, Dan, Saints are 8-1 straight up and against the spread the last 9 games on the road. They've been a monster on the road.
They're 1-1 this year.
Yep, the only lot, like I said, before this year. You're right. Listen, when we talked about this on the podcast, I agreed with you. I feel like I've seen this. A lot of, you know, this is the, we saw the Bears play bad, you know, there they go. You know, Saints go on the road. We mentioned that the total here just real quick. The Bears in general go under 12 of their last 14 games at home, but the total's gone over in 6 of the last 8 in this meeting between the Bears and Saints.
Opened at 46, is down to 42.5.
Seems low in a Saints game.
It does. I do think the lower the total, the more it favors the Bears. The Bears can win a grinded out football game. Can the Saints win a grinded out game? We haven't seen it from them this year. Give me a game the Saints have won that was a grinded out football game. Their wins this year, points they've scored in wins, 34, 35, 30, and 27.
I don't know. Was the Panthers? I don't know.
Their lowest point total this year has been 24 points.
I feel like a lot of their games have been close, and they
have been, but they're still offensively scoring quite a bit. Again, I'm not sure about the status for Manny Sanders. I know he has the COVID thing. I don't think he's playing, but we're not 100% sure on that. Michael Thomas was already ruled out. If the Bears, who have a defense who can legitimately, you know, cover Alvin Kamara, I think you can slow down the Saints this week. I really do. I think the Bears have the defense to do it in Chicago. And all the Chicago needs to do is a little dink and dunk action, control the clock. Now, there's no Allen Robinson for Chicago this week. That is...
So he's officially ruled out?
He's doubtful. I'm gonna assume that he's not going to play.
Did you hear what Greasy said this week during the game?
No.
He goes, there are play calls going in to Foles, where he already knows that he doesn't have enough time to throw the ball downfield.
Oh, yeah, no, I did hear that.
But, like,
I heard that on Monday night. That's something you did that you hear from Foles that you don't say on air. That's like something that's like, hey, off the record, can I tell you this? And then Greasy goes on the record with it? Yeah. That's pretty much
it. I mean, listen, I know Foles hasn't been accurate, but he's had spots.
He's been okay. He's been okay. So that's one.
All right, so you get the Bears.
Yeah, there's another one. I'm not going to give out as a PP, but I talked about this on the podcast. I think Seattle bounces back in a big way Sunday. I do.
Yeah, we discussed this one on the podcast. So right now, Seattle's -3. It opened at 6.
Yeah.
San Fran back to back weeks on the road. Now, granted, it's West Coast, so it's not that, you know. San Fran, the running back situation is what concerns me for them this week. You know, I didn't see Wilson having that kind of week against the Pats.
Neither did I. I don't think most people did. I don't think most people thought Wilson was going to get many
carries.
But here's
the deal. Can Jimmy Garoppolo throw? I don't think Garoppolo was great last week. I'm not crapping on him.
He didn't
either.
Have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to have to throw and challenge that Seattle defense, which isn't good. At least I think their secondary gives up a ton of points.
I agree.
Dunbar
has been better. Jamal Adams back. I think the defense will be okay.
So what I'm saying here is that if San Fran can continue to, you know, downfield pressure, like I think Ayuk's coming along. He's starting to play a little bit.
Yep.
And they're getting Samuel. Samuel's out.
Debo Samuel's out.
So they've been using him more on like reverses and, you know. Kid Bourne's impressed me a lot this year, and he is what he is. But overall, I think if San Fran can challenge him down the field, Kittle, I think they can compete in this game. But I don't know. Russell Wilson.
It's just the Niners secondary right now is beat the hell, and I just – You got to cover Metcalf. Lockett had his biggest game of his career last week, and I know they lost in that game, but, you know, you got to cover Lockett, Metcalf, who, you know, is a monster every single week.
Lockett's, like, so odd. He's one of those, just, like, root for that guy constantly.
And I know they don't have Carson.
Big plays.
Agreed. And I know they don't have Carson, and I know that this is, a divisional game. It's going to be tough. I think Seattle's going to bounce. Right now, we're overvaluing what the 49ers did against the Patriots last week. They shoved it down the Patriots' throat. The Patriots had no response. And, you know, the Seahawks are coming off a loss where, you know, they got outgunned. I'm not sure San Francisco can do that to them. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is the kind of quarterback who can throw it down the field.
Now I know you're not big on trends, but I'll throw these out there. The 49ers, 10-2 straight up last 12 games on the road. 6-1 against the spread the last 7 games on the road overall. So going on the road's no issue for them. But the Seahawks do struggle against their own divisional opponents, 0-4 straight up. But I'll give you this one because, you know, they've been around forever. Seahawks 11-3-1 against the spread last 15 after a loss. Against the spread loss. And those the 49ers last week, I know last year, excuse me, they won. It was a playoff game, but generally in their last 18 games against the Seahawks, they're 4-14 against the spread. So just wanted to throw some trends out there on this one. We have a caller who wants to talk about a certain game. We have John in the car. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Great show.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering about the dumpster fire that's the NFC East, Dallas and Philly. That line opened at -9. Dallas just got destroyed by Washington. And now they're looking at a third-string QB, something called a Ben DiNucci. I didn't feel good about Philly at -9, and that line keeps climbing. What do you guys think about this game?
Last year, Philly won 17-9. Ben DiNucci, as you mentioned, where did he go? I can't remember the college.
I think he went to James Madison.
There you go.
Right.
And then they brought Cooper Rush back this week. I mean, again, both these teams are on my list.
I think this is a game that you avoid a side and you look towards the total because I think that I think that these teams are going to be able to play each other pretty tough in terms of the actual spread. 10.5 for Philly is quite a bit. I'm surprised that we saw an opener where it did. The actual opening line in this one, Joe, was 7.5.
So I saw 3.5. Yeah, you mentioned 9 as well.
Yeah. So
maybe it was a look ahead.
Look ahead was 3.5 here for Philly, and now it's 9.5. I could definitely.
It's 11 at my local.
Oh wow. Okay. So yeah. So it's still climbing. I can see the 7.5 and leaning towards Philly and wanting to take it up to that 10. After that, I feel like you're kind of playing with a little bit of fire there. Danucci was okay with no prep work against, you know, last week. So they were okay against Washington. This week, you kind of get him in there. He'll be able to spread the ball around at least to Gallup and Lamb better than Dalton did, in my opinion. Elliott, I mean, we talked about, you know, you talked about earlier. Ezekiel is he feels like he's done, or he's getting to the point where, you know, he's no longer a premier running back in the NFL. He's fumbled a lot this year. He hasn't been hitting the holes. You watch him and you say, there's something wrong with this guy. Maybe it's an injury thing. I don't really know, but he does not look like the same sort of back to me that I was hoping to see. I think if you're going to take something in this game, Joe, and you're forcing me to.
This game sucks. Why are we even betting this game?
I think it sucks. I'm waiting for a second half line, or I'm looking at the total. And I'm not being scared, and I'm taking the over.
How's this game not flexed out? Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I think after this week, you can start flexing games out. But yeah, I think you're looking for an over.
So Philly won on Thursday.
Yep.
They had a week off, right?
They had a long week.
Long week. They should win this game. And I'm sorry, the little I've watched of Ben DiNucci, out.
I thought he was okay last week.
No, he stinks.
I think he was okay. He was the better of the two quarterbacks last week.
0-7 Dallas against the spread. 0-7.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm not doing it. But 11. You want to back Philly as an 11-point favorite? Good luck. I mean, I'm not going to be doing that.
Mention this has nothing to do with gambling whatsoever. But I think Zeke Elliott, and I don't know, Tucker, you're the fantasy guy. I think he might be one of the most overrated players in football this year. Maybe people. Oh, the offensive line's hurt, and they're gonna give him every single. Oh well, you know he's got no offensive line, and Dak's out, and blah 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 blah. Don't fumble the football.
I mean, I don't
fumble the football.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely had fumbling issues, no doubt about that. But that offensive line is wretched.
See, that's the thing. No,
it is.
No,
Tucker,
They've lost two tackles, a center. But you know what? When you're supposed to be one of the best running backs in the league, you're supposed to at least hold on to the damn football.
No, I'm totally with you on that capacity.
Sorry, nothing to do with gambling whatsoever. This year, I think he.
I'll tell you this: his value could not be lower right now.
I know.
I take a look at Zeke and say
I used to think Zeke was like one of the best. Like
he wasn't
in
good.
The league.
Tuck, he wasn't good early in the season when they had a healthy offensive line.
He wasn't terrible.
No, but he wasn't good. You know, and so I think, I don't know. I think we've seen, you know, the kind of the peak of potentially Zeke Elliott. Maybe I'm wrong. This is not something I'm taking a hard stance on, but it would not shock me if Zeke Elliott is on the downturn. You know,
sorry. Just wanted to get that out there. The
7-9 Zeke and decline show, you know, whatever. So
I actually love Zeke Elliott. Remember when he jumped into the Salvation Army thing?
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was cool.
That was on Thanksgiving.
I root for him. I like Zeke, but like hold on to the football, bro.
Yep. It was a Christmas. Was it Christmas or Thanksgiving?
What that was.
One of the holidays.
Probably Christmas. Yeah. Not Thanksgiving because of.
Was Thanksgiving or
imagine? Thanksgiving. Here comes Ben DiNucci, Cooper Rush on Thanksgiving Day.
Ben DiNucci. I mean, Ben DiNucci is going to start. I think he's okay. I think the kid can play a little bit. I think I'm just saying. I think he's better than one.
I made you say that.
He might be better than Dalton, honestly.
All right, this guy's been waiting. Andrew in Alston. Hello, Andrew.
Hey boys, I'll try to be quick. First of all, thank you for that DC tip on Thursday. That was huge. Second, we're going to soccer. I called him last week. I got that Crystal Palace pick right. I texted Dan a Crystal Palace pick yesterday. I got that completely wrong. My pick for this week, I love two-way lines. I'm a little soft like that. I'm taking Werder Bremen and the Bundesliga. They're +250 on the two-way line against Eintracht Frankfurt. I'm going to keep calling until I get a pick from Dan and probably still call after. But, Dan, you got anything for me this week in soccer, or are you too busy again?
I was too busy. How about this? I promise you I'll get you something next week, okay? Is that fair? Is he gone?
Bundesliga. I hung
okay.
up.
All right, that's fine. I will get you something next week, okay? And I know you did. He did hit that Crystal Palace play last week, which was very nice. Werner on the road this year. Blah. Not great.
All right. I do want to get into Pittsburgh-Baltimore as well on that huge spread in the Chiefs-Jets game. And then in college football, there's Clemson. There's the Clemson-BC. There's the whiteout tonight, Penn State, Ohio State, and a bunch of other games as well. So we'll get to those coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I need Father Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. All right, let's just get back into this BC Clemson game again, and then I do want to talk Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the NFL. So, all right, let's talk about it in a couple of ways here. Clemson should smack BC on any normal day. Any normal day, we've seen it before. Remember the AJ Dillon? Was it not AJ Dillon? Brown. The kid Brown got hurt the first play, and like that was it.
Yep.
And it was just like,
Anthony Brown.
I was on an airplane that night. It was bad. All right. The line's 31. I see 25 right now.
Right. Well, because Lawrence is out. So yeah. The spread moved heavily.
So I saw it was 24 and a half a little while ago. Okay. They're going to go with the kid DJ, with the weird last name, the long last name. Yugalawayo or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. The little I have watched him in action this year, he's been putrid throwing the football. Now, are those the ones in there? Probably not. I will say he can run the football, and he's a big kid. So, if you're Clemson, right, don't you try to have this kid hold on to the football, run the football with Etienne? Because the BC defense struggles to stop the run. I mean, look what happened against Virginia Tech, right? They can't stop the run. BC, let's face it. Let's be honest here. BC can't stop the run. They can't. That's their biggest downfall this year. They can put up points. They can. Can you do that against the Venables defense here? You know, this is, you know, Dan, you made a point about Halfley coming in here. Former defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Now the BC head coach. You feel that they have some tape on Clemson, recent tape.
I think he's prepped for this team recently. I mean, again, it was last year, so the team is going to be a bit different, but nonetheless, you prep for this team, and the thing is, Joe, the one thing that does concern me is that you prep for Trevor Lawrence for a couple of weeks now if you're BC, and now you're going in another direction, and maybe you're kind of more getting ready for Travis.
Just
Etienne.
To make it clear, Clemson beat Ohio State last year's college playoff game, but it was Trevor Lawrence's runs that crushed Ohio State.
Yep.
I think remember that big long run that he had. He got hurt, got the targeting penalty, and then he came back. So, like, if you remember that, that's what they're preparing for. Now that's out. I don't think DJ is going to throw deep. I don't know how much he's going to throw. Again, any tape I've seen, because every time I watch the kid play, you know, Clemson's up 20 or whatever, 40. If BC can't stop the run, they're going to lose no matter what. But does Clemson win by 25 plus? That's my question. And if BC can't score, then, yeah, I would say Clemson is the play here. The last time they met, it was an embarrassment. What was that? 59-7 a year ago. That was early on in the year.
That was still an Adazio BC team. This team should be better. Djokovic at quarterback. They're a little bit different. They should be able to move the ball at least a little bit. That being said, and you can't expect BC to score a ton. My guess is BC's been prepping for this game for a few weeks. Clemson hasn't been prepping for BC. They've been prepping for Notre Dame. I still think
Clemson can show up and beat BC.
I do too, but this is a massive look-ahead spot. Yeah. BC's been prepping for this game.
When's the Notre Dame game?
Next week.
Okay. Real quick, Clemson will be without their star linebacker, Skalski. Remember the kid that got ejected?
Yep.
James Skalski. Likely to miss multiple games with a groin injury. And their big defensive lineman, Tyler Davis, could be out this week with a lower leg injury.
Skalski is a huge loss for them.
That kid with the neck roll, he's nasty.
Yes, defensively, he was very good against the run as well. So, I mean, you know, maybe that helps. I'm still not prone to taking BC here. I don't know what to expect out of this kid, man. I don't. And, the unknown's going to be tough for me. If you got BC at 30-31, fantastic. 24-25, it's tougher. If you want to back BC, you're looking at the angle. They prepped for this game for a couple weeks now, and Clemson is looking ahead to next week.
With BC putting up points the way that they have over the last couple of weeks, do you look at an over here, or
I think now without Lawrence, I think it's probably an underplay.
Like, can BC score against the Clemson defense? That's, like, to me, the way that they've put up points, like 48-27 against Georgia Tech, that's 48 points. Yeah. Like, we saw what they did against BC has put up points this year.
Yeah,
they have.
Offensively, Djokovic has helped them move the ball. It's a different animal with Clemson in Memorial Stadium. It's a different animal. So we'll see. I don't really feel confident about anything in this game, Joe. I think if you got a good number.
So you got nothing.
I
want to back BC here for funsies.
They like the Syracuse backing last week.
Yeah. What I mean, though, is I think that Clemson's going to take care of the football, not turn it over, let this kid just kind of hand the ball off. It could be his coming out party, too. But I don't know. You know what? I'm going to have some fun with this one. I'll PP it for those. You can fade it. Fade it if you must. Give me BC plus 25.
There you go.
Fade it if you will. I'm going with the fact that I know BC is going to struggle stopping the run. I know it. But I think that Djokovic's going to put up a couple of touchdowns.
All right. You gave out a PP. I'm going to give out PP in college football. Memphis heads to Cincinnati today. This is a big game for both teams. Cincinnati coming off the just decimation of SMU. I think it was the 30-point win, 42-13 almost. Memphis coming off a disappointing game against Temple where they didn't cover. They put up 41 points, but they didn't really look good doing it, flipping back and forth. Cincinnati coming off just this emotional win at SMU. This was huge for them. You know, it solidified them as a top 10 team. Beating a ranked team in SMU is undefeated. A really good SMU team, in my opinion, who, again, I know they were out Roberson and the running back, but still, it's a really good win. At home this week, Cincinnati's at home. They opened 6.5-point favorites against Memphis. It's up to 7. It hasn't moved all week. It has creeped up to 7 today. I'm taking Memphis. Okay,
Memphis won this game last year.
Memphis won twice last year.
Yep.
Twice. I'm taking Memphis, and I think that we're going to see Cincinnati regress back to what
they were. I hope so.
Desmond Ritter was ridiculous last week.
It's probably one of the best games he's ever had.
Agreed.
Yeah?
Agreed.
And that, we know the defense is good.
Luke Fickell's defenses are always good with Cincinnati. I just think that Memphis is a team this year that has put together some really good wins. They beat Arkansas State.
That SMU loss was hard.
But they were in that game the whole way.
Lost on a field goal late. They fumbled on the goal line.
They came back versus UCF, and they won that game, and a game they had no business winning. Temple, they're probably overlooking them, which is why I told you I didn't want to back Temple last week, but I thought they were the right side. I'm going to take them this week, and Cincinnati has Houston next week. You know what I mean? Like this is the gauntlet for Cincinnati: SMU, Memphis, Houston. Like they're not going to win all three of these games, in my opinion. They're going to drop one. I think they're going to drop one at home. I really do, and I think this is best chance for that to happen. It's a dangerous spot because it's Memphis on the road, but I don't care. Give me Memphis plus 7 PP.
I like that. I like Brady White, what he's done this year with that team. And
Rodriguez Clark has been good on the ground, too. I like what
they're putting on NFL talent year after year in Memphis. Yep. Every year.
Henderson succeeding in L.A.
What I don't want is Cincinnati creeping up. Like they're seventh in the country. And I just don't see it.
I mean, they're four wins.
Like, I'd love to see them get knocked off.
Austin Peay, Army, South Florida, and SMU.
That's one quality win.
I'd say Army is an okay win.
Okay.
Okay. Austin Peay is terrible. They'll 20 points. That's Austin Peay.
Yeah, but like seventh in the country with that schedule?
Yep. And in they put up 28 against South Florida. Tulsa did that in their sleep. And again, they only allowed 7, but I think Memphis can beat this team in a low-scoring game. I think they can. I think they beat them like 27-24, and I think at worst, I think they're losing by 3 at worst.
Bradley's in an Amazon truck. What's up, Bradley?
Hey, how you doing, guys? You doing? I just wanted to talk about the Steelers game and my pick and why.
Okay.
So I'm taking the Steelers points, and I'm going to sprinkle the money line. I can't believe that a 6-0 team is, by any means, a 4-point dog. I think that even if they do lose, the defense will keep them in the game. Their defense is the best in the league. And I personally think that the Ravens are frauds. I think that they got stomped by the Chiefs. I don't see anything that like it was last year. They're missing something from last year. I just can't believe that they're 4-point dogs as a undefeated team. Thanks,
all right, but me and Dan are different on this one. Why do you like the Ravens, Dan?
I like Baltimore for the exact reasons that Bradley just said. They open as a 5.5-point favorite against an undefeated team at home, and the whole world's on Pittsburgh. I mean,
they had the bye too.
Just get into that. John Harbaugh off the bye. John Harbaugh off the bye is something around like 70% against the spread. Not to mention the Steelers last few games. Okay, home versus Cleveland, which was not an easy game. They made it look easy. They dominated that game. Last week on the road at Tennessee, 27-24 win. They're back on the road this week at Baltimore, and then they have a road game next week at Dallas. Three straight road games. They're going to get caught here. The Steelers are not an all-time world-beating team. They're not going to go undefeated. And the 6-0, here's their opponents prior to last week. At the Giants.
Yep.
Home versus Denver. Home versus Houston. Home versus Philly. Home versus Cleveland. Not a single team over 500 there.
Just so you know, the Ravens and Steelers have the two easiest schedules, 1-2, in the league.
Yep. But at least the Ravens, in my opinion, you could at least make the argument that the Ravens have played, I don't know.
They sucked against the Chiefs.
I absolutely can agree with that. I can.
And they were favored in both games against undefeated teams right now.
Yeah, and they were 3.5-point favorite at home against the Chiefs in a long week.
Only thing that concerns me about the Steelers is they're banged up. And the way that they missed field goal last week. They've taken teams head on. They've won. This is like a good little rivalry game.
This is going to be a very sharp for square play. I'm telling you right now, the public's going to be on Pittsburgh. Everyone's going to see, oh, they're 6-0. We got to take the 4, 5, and whatever it is. And the sharps going to look at this and say they're laying 5. This is the better team. That's what's going. It's going to be a sharp for very public play. It's going to happen. It's going to get a lot of action this week.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll have more for you after this on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ohio State takes on Penn State today. If there were fans in the stands, oh my God, what would it be like in Penn State today?
The whiteout game. That's no whiteout.
I don't know, Joe. I think this is going to be... Everyone's going to be on Ohio State after last week, right? We know that Ohio State comes out guns a-blazing in the second half. They end up covering that big number against Nebraska, going win 52-17 going away. Penn State loses on that play to Michael Penix in the corner, which everyone has their own opinion whether it was a touchdown or not. I think you could argue either way. I think you got to go with whatever you called on the field because it was irrefutable. Nonetheless, lose 36-35. I'm going to say this. Penn State's being a little disrespected here, and Ohio State's being they're bet up too much. Okay, it opened at 8 in Circa in Vegas, which is where most of these college openers come from on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. I do think that this is going to be a spot where you're probably buying low on Penn State and buying, you know, you're being oversold, an Ohio State team. I think that they, you know, Penn State was probably overlooking Indiana to get to this one. I think it's really as clear as that.
So I watched a lot of the Ohio State game last week. They let Martinez run a little bit, and then the kid McCaffrey came in after and had a long 47-yard run. So Sean Clifford likes to run, rushed for over 100 yards last week. I think that's something they might be able to exploit in that Ohio State defense a little bit. The biggest loss for me in the spread's 11. Ohio State won last year 28-17. So, you know, that's generally they play those types of tight games, but they're going to be without Penn State's going to be without their star running back, Noah Kane. He's out. And Journey Brown, I don't think is playing either. So they're struggling at the running. I think he's out for the year now. So the more I look at it here, I think it's going to be a struggle for, I think you have to keep Clifford in the box and let him try to beat you with his arm. And, but offensively, I really liked what I saw from Ohio State. They looked like a well-oiled machine.
I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with your point there. I just think that now we're buying, you're buying high on Ohio State and you are selling low on Penn State. I mean, I think 9-10 is probably the right number here. I think anything over that with Ohio State, you're probably being pretty cavalier here. You're taking a bad number, in my opinion. I think that there is a little bit of value on Penn State here, and that's coming from a guy who hates Penn State. I'm an Ohio State fan, hate Penn State, hate the program, everything to do with it. But you know, non-biased take here,
dude. Penn State loses here, they're done. Yeah. 0-2. See ya.
I think they might lose, but you know, nonetheless, I still think they're going to get up for this game. I think they will find a way to make it very competitive. I would not be surprised if Ohio State wins by 7 or 10. You know, right near that number. You know, whatever it is. So, yeah, go ahead.
What is it about Texas Oklahoma State that I can't stop looking at it? And you know, Texas won this one 36-30 last year.
It's an intriguing game. It really is. Texas.
I just feel like the Big 12, Oklahoma State's going down. I had them going down last week. Good thing Iowa State covered there. Man, this is just Texas hasn't won in Stillwater since 2014.
Texas is on the road versus
Oklahoma State and Kansas State, taking Iowa State at home. They're going to catch one of these teams. They are. And Oklahoma State is running the gauntlet right now. They had Iowa State last week. Now they have Texas on the road versus Kansas State and on the road versus Oklahoma. This is a four-game stretch for them that is just brutal. It's the four probably best teams in the Big 12. They're gonna drop one of these. Okay, it's a borderline impossible schedule with four straight brutal games. I think they're gonna drop one of these. They you know snuck out the W versus Iowa State last week. They were the better team, but you know they're gonna drop one. And Texas still has talent. Ellinger's a good quarterback.
Still alive, man. They win today. They're in it.
Yep. They're gonna catch
them. Lose today.
They're done. I'm
probably done.
They're done.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. I want to do a little more NFL and whatever else we have for picks.
I want to touch on the West Virginia game on the other side.
Oh, jeez.
I know. I listen, it's the weirdest spread of the week. Got to touch on it.
Right, it is. We'll talk about, a spooky line.
Spooky spread.
We'll talk about that coming up next. DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. What do you got on your list here, Dan?
All right, final game. Final PP for me of the week. Joe, we talked about this one Thursday. Boise State on the road at Air Force. Air Force coming off a brutal performance against San Jose State. Boise coming off a shellacking of Utah State. Really important game for them. Next week, Boise State home against BYU on a short week. Look at spot. Air Force looking at last week from San Jose State to Boise State. This is the type of spot I like to take at home. Give me Air Force plus 14 PP.
Air Force has a nasty running back or fullback, whatever he is.
Yep. I think they have a chance to win this game outright. I do. I'm not going to, you know, take them on the money line. I'm not advising to do that, but I'm taking the 14. I think they have a chance in this game. This is a bad spot for Boise. Big, really emotional win last week versus Utah State in a revenge game, and now looking at the BYU this week on the road. And Air Force was looking at last week. Clearly, we're not prepared for San Jose State. Did not perform offensively whatsoever. I think they'll be ready. They'll come out and you know. Boise State has BYU next week. So Boise State escapes with a win today. We'll be good.
BYU, while we're at it, dude, you know that. I love BYU. I like Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be a first-round draft pick.
Could be.
I think the Patriots should consider looking at him.
I think if he plays well versus Boise, you got to take a look at him, right?
Yep. I don't want to call them front runners because they came back against Houston. They're going to beat Western Kentucky. It's do they win by 4+ touchdowns? We've seen Western Kentucky pretty bad this year. They're 0-6 against the spread. I think BYU dominates this game, but Boise on deck. That's the tricky part for me.
Wouldn't shock me if BYU got up to a
35-0, you know, 42-10, and then they.
And they take out the starters. Yeah. And then, you know, Western Kentucky backdoors it. I mean, it's a game I'm staying away from just because I think that you have the real chance of BYU pulling the starters at home.
Yeah, total's 52 as well. So that 42-10 could be on.
Kentucky might score a touchdown or 10. Yeah.
Love BYU this year. That's my team.
Next week is going to be the biggest game for them all season, right?
Yeah, they beat Boise, dude. Again, that's why I think if Cincinnati goes down today, BYU wins, they're now a top 6-7 team in the country.
I mean, they have San Diego State to close out the season, but they have a month almost to prepare for that game, December 12th. I mean, they play North Alabama in like three weeks or whatever. It's the 21st, right before Thanksgiving, but that's a tune-up game.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe they'll add someone. Maybe they'll add like a UMass and just kick the crap out of them.
All right, and then in NFL, I guess we should just kind of hit on a few other games here. I mentioned the Chiefs and the Jets. Nope. I've given my play twice, once on the air, once on our podcast.
Yep.
I don't care what the spread is, Tucker. Don't care at all. I think the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points.
What's it up to now?
It's 20. I got it at 19 and a half.
You did.
It's 20 right now.
It's a lot
it
of points.
It was 21 and a half.
It's 20 and a half, actually, now.
Okay.
Got some good value. Got a good
and
number.
A few other, again, we gave out a lot of picks on our podcast. You know what's one I've seen all week that is interesting to me? Is a lot of love for the Dolphins this week.
Really?
I think I shared one of the notes with you regarding the Rams playing the Dolphins in general. Where was it? Not good. But I've seen so much love on the Dolphins this week. And hey, yeah, Taulia played well last night, right?
Maybe it's a Tagovailoa weekend.
Maybe it's the Tagovailoa weekend. The Rams are 1-10 straight up their last 11 games versus the Dolphins.
It's a rookie quarterback versus the Rams defense in his first start. Just saying. Good. I mean, it's a tough spot.
Dolphins very good at home. 4-1 against the spread the last five at home.
They've been underrated this year, honestly. That performance against San Francisco looks better and better every day. Really does. They kicked the living crap out of that San Francisco team.
Well, no, another thing, the total's gone under in the Rams' last four games overall.
Yeah, Monday night definitely went under. Definitely remember. I think there were 40 points total scored. Before we go, what do you think about the Colts-Lions games this week? Because I've seen, I actually counted this just because I wanted to play the game. Not a single person has been on the Colts. I've seen probably about 20 to 30 people on the Lions. What do you think about that game?
Vomit.
Okay, that's fair. I just think the Lions should be 2-4. Probably should have lost last week. The Falcons probably should have won that game if Todd Gurley doesn't go in the end zone like an idiot. And I don't know. Maybe we're over.
Kenny Golladay is really turning into. I mean, I know he's been good, but he
and Marvin
into form.
He and Marvin Jones have been very good, Joe. Very good.
Trufant could be out this week, and Mo Alley Cox could be out.
I think they have Trey Burton though, so they should be okay at the tight end spot. Not that he's a world beater.
As Tucker looks at his fantasy lineup,
Tucker's like, oh,
I
no.
just saw him look right away. He's like, oh, what's that? Huh?
Trey Burton. Gotta pick him up, Tuck.
Tucker
talked about him last week. Ooh, we also mentioned Harrison Bryant last week.
Ooh. Dude, how about that?
Yo, he isn't Hooper out again this week?
Let me double check that.
I believe he is, and I believe
yeah, he's out.
There you go.
Yeah.
An Njoku Bryant game with no Odell.
I just wanted to share this quickly. You know, everybody loves Alabama, betting Alabama in general. Nick Saban, 17-1 against Mississippi State in his career, 12-1 since he's been hired in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, but remember, Mississippi State's got the old ball coach, Mike Leach, now. Different.
I know,
but they
no quarterback right now.
They have not been good. They have not been good. It's brutal game for them. Gross. And by the way, the Troy quarterback, Gunnar Watson, has been ruled out for Troy this week. So, no Troy quarterback. He was the starter there, and he has been ruled out.
All right, be sure to check out the Over-Under podcast. It's on the 98.5 The Sports Hub website. We give out plenty of plays there. We give out a couple of plays today as well.
We never talked about the West Virginia game.
Oh, yeah. What do you got? What do you got quickly?
This is the sharpest play of the week by far. West Virginia Open is 3.5-point favorites. It's up to 5.5 now. Kansas State has a massive look-ahead spot next week to Oklahoma State, you know, and the week after that to Iowa State. West Virginia has a bit of a look-ahead on their own, but they probably can't overlook Kansas State in Morgantown. Kansas State without their quarterback, actually against a team with some talent that, you know, has a little bit of talent that isn't Kansas. This is going to be a real weird game. I'm staying away from it, Joe, but I can tell you this is the sharpest spot on the board this week is West Virginia.
would not be shocked if they win by a touchdown or 10 points going away. Just the way the line is going, the way she goes.
When you say sharp, like Michael Myers knives or Jason knives,
like
Freddy Krueger fingers.
The guys who are actually respected and successful in this business and Halloween sharp. Okay.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sharp, scary, sharp.
There you go. Scary. Very scary. All right. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Thanks, Tucker Silva, this week. Be sure to check out all our stuff on 985thesportshub.com. Go to the app, listen to everything, and you can tweet us at over under 985, which has all our documented plays, everything that we've given out as our picks that we feel confident in giving out to you. That's tracked against our record. So for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the Over Under 985 show.
Who you got?
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.